the guests finally leave. The cleaner is there to clean the property.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls me right when she enters. She goes, Bailey, this property is a mess. I'm like, what happened? She's like, there's throw up everywhere.
Oh my God.
The towels, like they used our towels to clean their throw up and just leave it there. There was animal pee all over the
place. Shut up.
There was a shower head that was like on the ground of the shower.
What? What's up, world? You're tuning into another episode of Once Upon a B&B. It's Anne's. This is Maha, and we have a special Zoom guest with us today, all the way from Orlando, Florida. Bailey, thanks for joining us.
Woo-hoo. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. How is the weather there in Florida?
I was just about to say, how's the weather there?
It is hot, and it rained today. It hasn't rained a lot recently, but it's been hot recently.
It has been raining a ton here recently, mm-hmm. like roads flooded and all kinds of shit. But
well, how long have you lived in Florida? Are you from there originally or?
So I was born in Florida, lived here a couple of years, and then moved to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I grew up for the majority of my life. And then I moved back down to Florida for college.
Okay.
What part of Wisconsin? My little cousin just moved to Madison and he hates his life.
I grew up in Milwaukee, but I'm familiar with Madison. It's a cool place.
Yeah, it seems like it, but I think he's just, you know, he's from the South. He's not used to the weather. He moved during the winter and was like, what?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I only know one person from Milwaukee, and we were like best friends in high school, and she always just be like, I am from Milwaukee, because we never believed her. Like, I've known you from like elementary, and now you're all of a sudden from Milwaukee.
From Milwaukee.
So I think she was born there. So yeah, so you like Florida. You moved all the way back. Is there something that keeps you there? Specifically.
Well, I'm actually moving in a couple months.
Oh.
So the only thing that kept me here was school. Then for college, I dropped out of college 3 months ago, but I'm still kind
congrats.
Of like riding out. Thank you. Riding
college
out the
dropout.
Rest of my
life. All right.
Kanye.
Yeah. Woo.
You were just asking us where we went to college. Where did you go?
University of Central Florida.
Oh, all my cousins went there. They're all from Tampa. They all graduated from UCLA.
Got it. That's funny.
I think I have a couple still there right now. Do you know any Egyptians there? Might be my cousins.
Out of the 70,000 people, I don't know if I know them.
Big school, a huge school.
So was dropping out of college related to your great success in real estate and short-term rentals?
It was identically related. It was pretty much the reason.
Okay.
I got to a point where I'm just like, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my mental capacity.
And money.
Just thinking about school and money. And I was like, this is just getting kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
One of my professors walked into class the first day. He's introducing himself. He's like an older guy. He looked like he's in the 60s, maybe 70s. And he's like, yeah. So I bought about 8 houses throughout my life and I've lost money on all of them.
What?
And I'm like, well, why am I going to listen to you?
Yeah.
Oh, what was your major?
I'm crazy. I was technically a real estate major.
Yeah.
I was like taking these real estate classes.
You were doing better than the teachers.
And these teachers didn't have like much real world knowledge. They just had the textbook knowledge. Already had the real world, some real world knowledge. And I didn't really care about the textbook knowledge because I had success in the real world.
Right.
Why would I? Who cares about the textbook?
Mm-hmm. So what came first, the real estate major or are you starting to work in real estate?
So I got interested in real estate from reading Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So once I read Rich Dad Poor Dad and I'm like, oh, this real estate thing sounds cool, I switched to being a real estate major. Before I was like some type of business major, like generic.
Gotcha.
But once I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I'm like, all right, let's turn it and focus on real estate.
Mm-hmm. So what got you started? What was your starting point?
So the introduction to real estate as a whole was Rich Dad Poor Dad. That's where I learned about the whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first deal, which took a year after actually reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, came strictly from networking. So I networked my butt off for literally, I still network, but not as heavily as I did before.
Yeah.
And just met great people along the way. People that I raised money from, people that I partnered with, people that I found deals with. So it all came from networking. And I networked Bigger Pockets, Facebook groups and meetups. Now, those are like the main.
That's awesome.
Those are like the main sources.
So you started out investing, not as an agent, or were you doing both?
No, I didn't start out as an agent. So the first deal I did was a fix and flip, And I didn't have my license then. So when mm-hmm. we sold the property, I was like, I just lost $5,000 because yeah, if I just represented us,
mm-hmm. you could have made the boom, commission.
Then,
yeah.
Then there's the commission. So then I got my license because we had another fix and flip that we were kind of eyeing down. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get it now, mm-hmm. rush through it just in case. So
How old are you on that first fix and flip? Because you're young now, right?
20.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 21 now.
Wow.
About to turn 22 in a couple months.
Okay.
So I was 20 at the time when I bought the first one, and I'm close to turning 22 now.
I have a bright future ahead.
I know, that's pretty awesome.
So thank you.
Go ahead. You were saying after that first one, right into the second one?
Yeah, so I was like, all right, I need to get my license because if I just sell one of these, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I got my license, sold one of them, so that was great. And then I never actually wanted to be a real estate agent, so now I just do referrals.
Oh, great. Oh,
so they can pay you legally for the referral because you're licensed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's smart. Cool. So from investing and doing fix and flips, how'd you end up in the short-term rental business?
Yeah, great question. So kind of an accident. I never had the eye of like, oh, I want to get a short-term rental.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, we were doing a lot of like off-market lead generation, so cold calling and texting property owners whose houses were either vacant, high equity, low equity, you know, any of these crazy fancy lists we were trying to pull and call.
I get like 10 of those calls a day.
Just try to buy your house.
Yes.
I know. They're very annoying when you're on that end of it.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll express to us, you're the 10th person who called us today. We're like, ah, oh, man.
Well, they're getting sneaky with it because they'll call you and be like, hey, Maha. And I'm like, hey, how are you?
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
They like act like they're a friend and they're like, would you be interested in liquidating your property? Yeah.
They're good. They're good. I'm not great on the phones, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I really enjoy, but just had to do it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called a seller, a homeowner, and he was interested in selling. He was super motivated. He was getting old, health issues,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. His property wasn't in great shape. So he was like, I'm ready to sell. He came, he had a price and we're like, okay, what can we do? You know, how can we make this work? We're like, can we fix and flip this property like we did before?
Mm-hmm.
We're like, no, because the house was almost $800,000, and I was not looking to make an $800,000 risk at 20 years old, having done just two fix and flips. But we bought both properties at $68,000 and $80,000 respectively.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from $80,000 to $800,000,
yeah. Well, and you said it was not in good shape, right? $800,000 for like a piece of shit, or
It was pretty rough. It was right on a lake, though. It had like 2 acres. So it had some value.
So you're buying the land, basically. But
yeah, but it was like, I couldn't wrap my head around taking an $800,000 gamble. Then we were like, okay, can we long-term rental this? We're like, we could, but like, this wouldn't make the greatest long-term rental. So we're like, what else could we do? They're like, can we short-term rental it? And we've had literally before this, no experience with short-term rentals. We go on Airbnb. We look at other short-term rentals in the area, just to get a rough idea.
Mm-hmm.
And our next door neighbor was Airbnbing his property.
Oh,
we're like, cool.
Well, yeah,
what
it's on
getting?
A lake, so perfect for Airbnb.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sounds spacious.
So
yeah.
We saw he was getting $1,300.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, well, our house, the one that we wanted to buy, was bigger, had more land. It was just better in every sense for Airbnb. And we're like, okay, if we can just do $1,000 a night, would this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
We ran the numbers. And it made sense, so we pulled the trigger and went for it.
That's awesome. So you had investors with you?
We'll be right back.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Yes, we did. So we brought in a couple investors. Those were all relationships through networking.
Your networking? That's great.
I'm just so proud of you, Bailey. What are your parents thinking? Are they like, did you just drop out of school? Or like, are they like, were they scared?
They can't be mad because you're obviously doing really well.
Yeah, they were upset at first. And my girlfriend too. My girlfriend was probably the most upset. But
does she go to school with you?
No, she actually goes to Madison.
Oh.
Wisconsin-Madison.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that.
So they were like, disappointed. They weren't disappointed. They were like sad because they're like, just finish. My dad didn't graduate from college. So he's like, trust me, just do it. And I'm just like, no. But they got over it. And like, my parents got over it in like a day.
Yeah.
My girlfriend took like 4 days and then they're all good now.
Okay, good.
That's a happy story.
Yeah.
So you're currently managing, you have a co-hosting business now, right?
Yes.
And you have...
So I co-host and I own.
Okay, both. How many do you own? How many are you co-hosting?
So I own two, or part owners in two. I don't own 100% of them.
Yeah.
And then I co-host right now. One of the owners just got one under contract, so that'll be another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I manage seven right now. And then one of the owners I've worked with, he already bought and he's just renovating the last couple of units of a boutique hotel.
Oh,
so that's going to be an additional 8 units that'll be up hopefully within the next 3 weeks that will be up and running.
That's exciting. Oh,
that's what our prior guests, Vivid Homes, did. Mm-hmm. They bought a boutique hotel here in Atlanta. Yeah.
Oh,
all
cool.
Right. So all these properties you both own and co-host. I know you've got some crazy stories for us.
Yeah. I've got a handful of crazy stories.
Right.
We want your fave.
Right. The one you tell at parties after a few beers.
Yeah. So we got an inquiry. This was during our off season. So let's just say the bookings weren't rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
We were newer and we were also, we weren't, I wouldn't say desperate, but I would say like beggars can't be choosers. Right. We weren't like.
Starting to get worried, like they weren't coming in like you thought they were.
Right. So, well, what happened was we got an inquiry. This lady had one review, okay, just one, and it was a 1-star rating.
No, no.
So I look at it and I read the review, and the review says something along the lines of like, terrible guest. she smoked in the unit and didn't answer any of my messages.
Okay.
So that was pretty much it. It was very brief. And I'm like, okay.
That's not the worst.
Smoking in the unit. I'm like, it's not the worst. It's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, it, I don't want that. But I'm like, it's not terrible. And not responding to messages.
She could be high. I mean,
she could have her Airbnb notifications off on her phone, whatever.
Yeah. So it seemed like very normal. Like very fine. Like I wouldn't have given a guest a 1-star review for doing that.
Yeah. Right.
Probably more in like a 3-star range. Yeah. So what I did is I messaged the Airbnb the guest, and I said, hey, I just read your rating and review.
What's your side to this story?
What?
You're like, what's your side to this story?
Yeah, I basically said like, I need to know your side of the story.
Yeah.
And she basically said, She basically threw the other owner on the bus. Oh, it's not true. Oh, this, I don't even smoke.
a stretch.
And she kind of just said, she kind of like sweet talked me and do it a little bit. So I was like, all right. I said, this is my goal. I'm going to let you stay at my property. Because also she previously mentioned that other hosts weren't allowing her to stay because of her bad reviews.
Why would
she? I knew she had some pain in there. Right. So I said to her, listen, I'm going to let you stay at my property, but here's my, and here's why. And here's my goal. My goal is to have you have such an awesome stay. And my goal is to leave you a 5-star review to fix your profile. So in return, like, yeah, give me a 5-star review too.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I want to help you out by boosting your Airbnb profile.
Right.
So I was like, I thought that was pretty nice. I thought we like started on a good note.
Definitely.
So she stays at the property. It was just like a 2-night stay. It wasn't like anything crazy. She stays there for 2 nights and everything was normal. She responded to my messages normal. Like everything was fine. Then it was the day for checkout. My cleaner calls me pretty angrily. She's like, your guest isn't checked out. And we need to go. Because the cleaners also went there a little bit late because we didn't have a check-in that same day. So,
right, so they weren't rushed.
We're relaxed with our cleaners in that sense. And they're like, listen, what's going on? So then the guest messages me and goes, your cleaners are so rude. They were yelling at me. And I'm just like, you didn't leave the property. You're 2 hours late. Like,
yeah.
This is kind of your problem. Whatever. So then the guests finally leave. The cleaner is there to clean the property.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls me right when she enters. She goes, Bailey, this property is a mess.
Oh,
I'm like, what happened? She's like, there's throw up everywhere.
Oh my God.
The towels, like they used our towels to clean their throw up and just leave it there. There was animal pee all over the
place.
Shut up. There was a shower head that was like on the ground of the shower.
What?
There was, I'm trying to think what else they did. But just like, they left it in terrible shape.
You know what this reminds me of? this is good. We had a guest on the show and they said they go on TikTok and like trash people's places.
Yeah, there's like a trend of that now. Like, you should search TikTok for her.
Because
one of our guests found them on TikTok, right? And that was like their whole thing.
Because animal pee? I'm confused.
I know.
Bro,
do you have cameras? Like at your front door or anything?
So we didn't have cameras at the time. Now we do.
Rookie mistake.
it was a complete rookie mistake.
What else did she do?
Yeah.
It's throw up everywhere. There's animal pee. There's a broken shower head.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And like the dishes were like just rudely like all over the place. Like just gross.
They just didn't even bother gross. Like to pick up after themselves at all. Wow. Right. And let me guess, when you told Airbnb, they didn't do shit.
Wow. So this is my other mistake. So I see all the, my cleaner is sending me pictures left and right. Cause I always tell them, if you see something, take a picture first.
Right.
I need the proof. So right when I get the proof, again, rookie mistake, I immediately request money from the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And what does she do? Immediately denies. She basically just like denies it. She's like, oh, the shower head was like that. Oh, we didn't have an animal. They just started denying it. And it's like,
we didn't have an animal. That was us peeing on the floors. We peed ourselves.
You didn't ask specifically where the pee was coming from.
Yeah. So it was like, she just started denying it and just being rude about it, honestly. So then I tried to request money from Airbnb. Like the money part was the least of our worries, honestly, because between the towels, the shower head, the extra amount we had to pay our cleaner, it was really only like $400.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't terrible because I mean the property's also it's large. They paid $600, $700 a night for two nights plus the cleaning fee. So they paid $2,000, whatever. Yeah. So the biggest problem was these guests now were so angry at us.
That they left you a terrible
and left
review.
Us a bad review.
Sons of bitches.
So they left us a 1-star review, and in the review they're like, they mentioned your cleaner's rude. They mentioned like. They just started like talking nonsense about the house, which is funny. When they checked in, actually, now that I remember, they checked in and messaged me and said, Bailey, beautiful property. Everything looks great.
Oh my God.
And then in their review, they wrote like, oh, terrible property. This place is... And I'm just like, what? So I call Airbnb, try to get it removed. And that did not go according to plan. Mm-hmm.
Did you try to get reimbursed or anything for?
We tried to. But we kind of just dropped it after a little while because we're like, we are new at this point, but we didn't want to like, this was honestly like the damages she did wasn't like, she didn't like put a hole in the wall.
Right.
She just did like so many rude things
that
we wanted to just like, it was rude.
Yeah.
It wasn't like holes in the wall.
How rude.
Where like, we need something fixed. It was just like, listen, we got to pay our cleaner extra $100.
Yeah.
We got to fix the shower head. We got to order like 20
towels.
So
you're like picking your battles with Airbnb, like not worth the effort, basically.
Yeah.
Well, if you would have tried, you probably wouldn't have gotten anything anyways. That's the majority of our stories. They're like, Airbnb didn't do shit. I think we had one, though, where they immediately like put up like $20,000 or something crazy. But for the most part, they are not very helpful.
Yeah.
We gotta stop talking shit about them in case they ever want to sponsor us. I mean,
thank you, Airbnb, for all your great contributions to our travel stories. Right. That, I mean, Bailey, I'm so sorry that happened to you in your first go round, but that made you a better person. It made you stronger.
You live and you learn. You now have a doorbell camera, right?
Now I have a doorbell camera. I now don't allow guests who have 1-star reviews stay on my property. Right. I don't get sweet talked into it either.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, no, there's no more Mr. Nice Guy. And we've actually had, it's funny, I'm done taking chances on people, like as bad as that sounds. Like, I'm just like either you have a good stat sheet or you don't.
Right.
If you don't, I'm sorry. Find another property. And we just had a bunch of inquiries for a fraternity formal event. We've had after prom party inquiries.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, nope. I don't want to give an explanation. I don't care how many parents are going to be there.
Right.
Nope.
No, thank you.
That's not happening.
Yeah, a lot of people have had to learn that lesson the hard way on the host side. But.
She ruined it for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her animal piss.
Yes. Yes.
So after the first, I guess you had to tell your girlfriend and your parents about that, this first crazy story. And they're like, we told you. Finish school.
<I know.
laughs> Luckily, nothing has been like
that traumatic.
Game changing. But even like when our first guest was checking in for the first time ever, our water well stopped working. Mm. We've had broken windows. But like, luckily these things are only like a couple hundred bucks at a time.
Right.
And again, with a larger property, it becomes less of a big deal.
Yeah.
So we've had like so many little things happen. I mean, some people might think that a broken window is a big deal. Mm. It is, but it's not terrible, luckily.
Yeah. Right.
So I share everything on my social media, like any update, good or bad, like I'll share it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't surprise anybody when one crazy thing happens. It's like, oh, here's another one.
Yeah.
Also, you share like when certain things happen, whether it's positive or negative via social media. Oh, that's cool. That's very transparent. I don't know if I know like too many people that like, hey, this is what happened. So that gets people to follow you along your journey, see the ups and downs of the Airbnb trials. That's cool.
Yeah. And on TikTok, it gets a lot of people to not like me too, though.
Mm, really?
Because like I posted one. We had a guest recently request a refund from their stay.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a longer story, but on TikTok, well, basically what happened was the guest checked in. There were like three corners of the house
mm-hmm.
where there was some dust and some dirt, like literally just mm-hmm. in the corners. It was totally our fault. My partner basically hung up pictures, drilled holes in the wall, and like dust fell down.
Yeah.
So like it was for sure there, totally our fault. It was really his fault. And he admitted it. So like we get that. But we could have just sent our cleaner back out.
Yeah.
And it would have been like all good. Mm-hmm. They just wanted a refund and like whatever. So I shared the story on TikTok about how that kind of went down and people were like, my caption was Airbnb stole $700 from me because they initially just like didn't give me anything and just gave her refund back.
Oh, damn.
Long story short, I was like, I'm entitled to something because we could have easily fixed the issue for free, mm-hmm. even given her a discount. So you can't just cancel the stay on me like that. At least not until this new rule is put in place. So long story short, people are like, you deserve it. You should keep your house clean. You're a slumlord. Like all that stuff. So,
but people definitely try to look for any small reason to get their stay for free. We had one story where this lady like brought a thermometer with her and she's like, your refrigerator is not at the right temperature. Literally.
This is a real story. Yeah.
You should check out our other episodes. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a culture definitely of like anti-landlord. So if any, whoever's making the bulk of the money in the situation, it's going to be you should have, like you said, it should have been cleaned. But that was unfair. I mean, now you guys, you're learning, okay? No pictures. I mean, if you're going to hang pictures, you're going to clean up.
Very Gen Z of you to be like, but on TikTok.
I know, that's such a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, TikTok well, the funniest weird. Thing is like, when things like this happen too, because there's, just transparently, like there's ways I monetize through social media.
Yeah.
So when something happens negatively, and it's like, oh, that just cost me $200. I'm like, well, I'm just going to post about it and make more money from posting about
it. Right.
So
that's so
it's kind of like,
Screw college. Just go to Bailey, okay?
All right. So Bailey's going to, like, we're going to look back on this and be like, remember that time we interviewed Bailey Kramer?
You're going to be so big. I'm like, I know him from, like, 30 minutes of a podcast.
Right. We knew him when he was, like, 21 years old.
I'm so excited.
Well, you're also a coach, right? So why don't you shout out your social media, your business, let us know where we can find you online. What's your TikTok?
Yeah, best places are Instagram and TikTok. That's where I'm most active.
Really?
Pretty much everything that I do, you can find. I talk about it on social media. Mm-hmm. I have a free Facebook group. I have free resources, all that fun stuff.
Nice.
Best way is the Bailey Kramer on Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know right now, there's only one Bailey Kramer that does real estate.
Mm, okay.
So there's no imposters.
What are the odds?
Yet. There's no other Bailey Kramer. So if you look up Bailey Kramer on Instagram or TikTok, you'll find it.
It's going to be you. All right, cool.
I'm just so inspired. Thank you, Bailey.
We are proud of you over here, Bailey.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Like I said, check out our other episodes. You'll realize yours are not so bad. We've had a lot of our stories involve shit for some reason. There's been
shooting.
Some crazy stuff. Yeah, we've had an armed robbery. It's a lot. Post Malone was involved in a story.
Wow.
There's a lot going on. We're glad to have you, Bailey.
Yeah, thanks for joining
us. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Tell your girlfriend and your parents we said hey.
Yeah. All right. Take care. See you later.
This is another episode of What's Up on a B&B. It's Anne.
And this is Maha.
And that's Bailey.
And this is Bailey.
Superstar.
Yeah. Bailey Kramer. The Bailey Kramer.